Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, this is day number two of three off in a row. This is a real treat for Thunder fans as we get to relax just before the All-Star break. And I'm excited to see what Coach has been doing, prepping for these games against Dallas and San Antonio. And I guarantee you, Coach is going to have an amazing game plan for these next two games.
Definitely, man. We're going to get started off by breaking down the second part of the three sections of the upcoming schedule that we broke it down into. Yesterday we covered the first section, today we'll cover the second, and then tomorrow obviously the third. We're also going to go through some predictions that we have over the first 20 games. A Reddit user gave me his predictions, so we're going to share those with you and talk about them a little bit. SGA 538 article part 2, okay? And this one's going to focus mostly on his passing. We have some big news that we're going to get started with, and so we're really, really happy that you joined us. Thank you for joining us for The Last Storm. Here we go.
This is exciting news. We have hit the top 100 chart for the second day in a row. That is huge for us because this is only our second month in. Our voice is starting to be heard by the Oklahoma City Thunder fans, and they're starting to recognize that this team is worth watching. This could be a playoff run, and we are all incredibly jacked as we get it to the All-Star break.
Yeah, dude, we are up to spot number 93. Yesterday we were at 98. That was the first time we ever broke the top 100. And we were anticipating that this sometimes kind of like yo-yos a little bit, right? We were thinking that we'd fall out. But instead, we moved up. We're up to 93. And we're only 27 spots now behind Down to Dunk. So I'm pretty sure they hear our footsteps coming for them.
If they don't hear our footsteps, then they're not listening. And that's okay with us because our goal, again, is to make a difference with the Oklahoma City Thunder fans that want to cheer for this team to win. That's it. We just want this team to win, just like our listeners. They want this team to win. They're starting to recognize that this is a team to be able to watch, and it's worth watching.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, we went through a really difficult start of the season and went through a really, really, really tough time where we played the Lakers, you know, and we played the, the Bucks and the Nuggets, and just a really tough part of the schedule. Yesterday we talked about how we felt like we had 20 winnable games in a row. Obviously, we don't think we're going to win all 20 of those, but 20 winnable games in a row says something about the strength of the schedule. Now, today, I want to focus on the next stretch of 14 games. Okay, they start out with a game against the Sixers. Okay, then we have 2 days off before we have to play the Jazz, and we play the Warriors on a back-to-back. So that's a three-game stretch where I think, you know, if the other games were winnable, then those games are what we call games we have to play a perfect game to compete.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Mark. The way that the schedule breaks down and we're looking at the schedule is when obviously, like Mark said, the games that we're circling as going to be difficult games, they're truly going to be difficult. They're going to be incredibly hard for our guys to be able to play against a top six team in the West or a top six team in the East. Or a top three team in the East. When we play against a top division or team in the division or in the East division, we have to be able to recognize that these are games that we want to compete in. It's not necessarily games that we're going to win, but man, when we were able to take the Lakers to overtime, two back-to-back games, that was amazing shit. That's the type of stuff that Mark and I dig. That's the type of stuff that we love to see, the maturity and to be able to do that. These guys have a couple of those games where we feel like they should be able to step up and have an opportunity to do some amazing things, but they're just going to have to be patient and take what they can get, especially when we're playing against top-tier teams like, you know, Phoenix and Utah and Philly, teams like that. We're going to have to just be patient and wait for our shots.
So after those three games, we have a stretch where most of them are winnable. All of them are winnable. But in the middle, there's some tougher games. But for the most part, this is a very winnable stretch. I'll go ahead and read off the next 11 games for you. We play the Pistons, the Raptors, the Wizards, the Pacers, and then the Wizards again. Followed by, this is where it gets a little tough, we play the 76ers and the Celtics, okay? Then it goes Pelicans, Pacers, Suns, and Kings. So out of those 14 games, I'm looking at 5 that are going to be difficult and 9 that look completely winnable.
Man, I think you're right on with those numbers. I think there's one game that I said that is more of a competitive game, I would call it, than a winnable game. But your numbers are right on. I feel like this is a great opportunity for these guys to be able to put together some really great games. Like Mark said, there's 20 winnable games in there, plus all these other games that we're dissecting right now, but there's 20 winnable games. We're not expecting them to win all 20 games, but if there's some way and some possible way that these guys can pull off 23, 24 wins over the next 3 months, there is definitely an opportunity for us to make the playoffs.
So yeah, I wanted to go ahead and bring in that prediction I was mentioning from Reddit, the user IG Mr. One. He said that over that 20 win stretch that we had mentioned on the last episode, or 20 games of winnable games, he said that he thought we could go 12-8. And I thought that that was a very safe bet. And if you think about it, if we go 12-8 over the next stretch, then we're right in the mix.
Yeah, that's all we need to do, Mark. You're right. Is 12-8, and then all of a sudden we're looking at an opportunity to be within spitting distance of 7th, 8th place. And who knows? This is the West. That 12-8 could be one of the best records in the West because of the gauntlet that every other team has to play this year in the second half of the season. There's an opportunity that 12-8 puts us in a position to be in, you know, 6th or 7th place in the West. And if that's the opportunity that we have, this is something that's worth watching. I don't think that all 8 teams that are in the West right now or that are ranked in the West will actually make the playoffs. So there's going to be a lot of spaces to move up and move down in. But you're right. If we can go 12-8, that's an awesome opportunity. I looked at it like it was 14-6 is what I thought we could do. But that's just because I always look at really positive stuff. And I look at a lot of these games against Detroit and against Cleveland and Chicago, Charlotte, and all those other games that we have an opportunity to do a lot more damage than, you know, 12-8. But that's just me.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and hit up our buddy Post and ask him what he thinks we're going to be able to do, because, you know, honestly, he's definitely a major fan, but he avoids being too big of a homer. Like, I can't help myself. I look at it, I say 20 winnable games, okay, we're going to win 18 of them. Obviously, you know, that's why I ask other people for their opinions. And so that's why I'm so happy that IG Mr. One stepped it up on Reddit, gave us a prediction, because now we can look at it and we can say, hey, if that's true, then we'll be 26-28 at that point in the season. And then once again, we talked about the next 14 games, which we said were 9 winnables, 5 tough ones. And that's, like you said, we could be right in that spot to make our move, which is good because we'll cover this on the next episode. But that last stretch of the season is a killer. So like I said, we'll go over that a little bit later, but thank you once again to IG Mr. One. You know, I appreciate it. Keep them coming. Let us know. We love talking Thunder to anybody who wants to talk about the Thunder. Jump in the conversation. Speaking of somebody who jumped in the conversation, let's give a shout out to our big fan from South Korea. Thank you so much for your service. I appreciate everything that you and your wife and your whole family do for this country. You know, it's very appreciated, and we're so happy that we get to be a part of your life in a way that we can bring you Thunder news, because we know what it's like to just have that need for some fresh Thunder talk.
Hell yeah. Thunder Rat Boy is definitely a big fan of ours. He reached out yesterday just to let us know that we did a great episode, and we definitely had an awesome conversation about life. He recently had a baby boy. He is super stoked about it. And I'm excited that he is going to get some SGA jerseys, because he deserves it. He is balling out there in South Korea. It is not always easy there. So I really appreciate what you're doing for this country. I appreciate you being able to put yourself in a place, a better place in your life, and recognizing where you were and where you wanted to be. So kudos to you, brother. Keep up the hard work, and we are all hoping for your safe return soon.
Man, and I'll tell you right now, we usually don't spend a lot of time talking about other people's content, you know, because we have so much that we want to talk about. But this 538 article about SGA, we've broken it down. I mean, I think we've talked about it for almost 5 episodes now, but we've broken it down to 3 sections during this break, and we figured we'd cover it. And if I could say this better myself, I would. But in the end, sometimes you just have to stop and say, like, you know, they hit the nail on the head. And so we're going to go ahead and read what they said. This is what we're calling part 2. This is focused on SGA's passing. The last one was all focused on his driving, which we believe, which they argue, and I think they do a convincing job, that his game is predicated on his ability to drive. So what we have built, what we think is of this next section is one of his counter moves, right? He wants to get to the hole first, but if that's not there, what does he do? And how does he break down defenses? And what happens next? So this is going to focus on his shooting. And then the next episode is going to focus on his passing. I know that I got it backwards. I said that wrong earlier. But this one's all about his shooting, and we'll go forward from there, all right? So when he drives, SGA is the polar opposite in a lot of ways of Russell Westbrook. What was Russell's biggest strength when he was driving to the basket, right? His acceleration, right? But for SGA, in a lot of ways, his biggest strength is his deceleration. When he slows down and he goes into that slow motion move, that is, for a lot of intents and purposes, like, that's how he gets most of his points. When he gets close to the bucket, he'll slow down, he'll use his length, and he'll find a way to score. And so here's a couple of things, excluding garbage time, okay? SGA, he shoots from the mid-range 43%. He shoots 43% from deep. His pull-up three is 40%, and at the rim, he shoots 64%. And like I said, that ability to slow down, right, when he gets close to the rim, that's what gives him the ability to shoot 64% at the rim. And that's what people are always trying to stop. They're trying to stop him getting to the rim. And from there, he counters and he finds different ways. So obviously his mid-range is great. You know, it's improving. He's definitely getting better. His 43% from deep is incredible. 40% on pull-ups, like, there's really no weakness in his game. All right. And when you look at the way that this team is built, Al Horford is our second leading scorer at 14.6 per game. He's the second lowest second leading scorer in the league. And most teams have three or four scorers who average more. And this is a quote from that article, okay? SGA is as talented of a self-creator and scorer in the league while possessing an advanced passing game. Okay, in the next episode, we're going to get a lot more into his passing, all right? Then here's another quote. This is how the article concludes, okay? And like I said, if I could say it better, I would. But in the end, you just got to give him props for saying it right. So here we go. He is built to thrive against grinding playoff defenses. With his mid-range and half-court scoring, plus the Thunder, you know, and the Thunder are structured to build around him. For the young floor general to win a championship, time and patience ought to be the only factors required. So that kind of gives you an inside look at how SGA likes to score, his ability to get to the basket, how he predicates his other parts of the game off there. And when you're talking about his ability to use his step back, right, that's all based on teams having to be prepared for his ability to drive to the basket.
Yeah, Mark. And you did a really good job explaining it. And the only way to explain exactly what he does is one of the most frustrating things as being a post player is a playing against a player that understands the second the bigs get off the ground, you know exactly where the holes are in the defense, and it allows you to slide and slip through the lane. The way that SGA does his twitch move and gets the defenders to get up in the air so he can go right past them is really spectacular. It's one of the most elite moves I've seen in a very long time, especially being the fact is that he's a point guard, shooting guard, hybrid. The way that he's able to get to the goal is unbelievable. And something that we've seen him do, especially recently, is his whole step back, his sidestep back, and his hesitation three-pointer. Like, all these three-pointers shots that he's adding to his arsenal is making it so teams are having to make a decision. Do they want a guy shooting 42% on three-pointers against them, or do they want to give him the lane more often? And more often than none, people decide to give the guys the lane to allow the big men to go up against one-on-one against SGA or whoever, Chris Paul, because these are the type of guys that they want to have a one-on-one defensive and offensive thing. But the problem is that SGA is so effective against getting to the hole and getting around and using the rim to make so that the shot blocker can't block him. Like, there's so many things that he does that are so amazing that just you just have to sit there and marvel at. And again, this is something, it's incredibly elite. He is able to somehow get the bigs off their feet before he gets off his feet, and he's able to get around and use the rim and be able to slip by them. Like, I haven't seen a player do something like this in a very long time. And it really just reminds me of cutting butter. He just slides right through the post player, and it's like, okay, how did he get right there? And it's amazing. It truly is.
Yeah, his ability to get to where he wants. And, you know, that's why I appreciate this article so much, because in the end, it really captures what makes SGA a great scorer. Now, obviously, you can't just look at these numbers and decide what you want to see. You got to actually watch the game, like you're saying. You got to watch him do it in full speed, you know. And like I already mentioned, Russ, I think everybody knows how I feel about Russ. If you don't, you know, I was Russ's biggest fan. You know, I know a lot of people say that, but in the end, you know, I was talking about him being an MVP, you know, early in his career, because I saw that level of talent. And the thing that always struck me with Russ, like, and you can see it on TV, but the first time I saw it in person, I couldn't quite, like, wrap my mind around it. And honestly, I still have trouble. But if you've, you know, I've coached basketball for a number of years, and I never saw anybody go past their defender faster than Russ did. And Russ was playing against the fastest people in the world, and he still was able to accelerate past them at a speed that made them look like they were standing still, and quite often they were. And the fact is, SGA possesses an ability to get past people by being crafty, but the ability to slow down, to me, is far more important than ability to speed up. Because in the end, the only thing worse than like a car that won't start is the car that won't stop.
Damn, man, you're absolutely right. And I think that's something that we definitely recognize, is that the way that he is able to slow down and land really safely, I cannot say enough about how he's able to stay healthy and how he's able to do these other things and getting to the hole without getting truly injured. And the only reason he's able to is because, like Mark said, he can slow down before his landing. And that is huge. Now, I do think that he may have, you know, a few sprained ankles through his life, because he's, you know, driving to the hole so often that this is something that will probably end up happening throughout his career. But that's okay. Because all great players, they learn to wear ankle braces, they learn to wear the proper shoes, and then they'll be able to guard against that. I'm not worried about that. What I continue to see with SGA is his ability to rise above the competition, to take it to a whole new level, and it doesn't matter who he's playing against, he finds a way to score. And he might not take a lot of shots, but he still ends up with a game with 20, 25, 30, 42 points. He has an elite way to score the ball. And it's something that's incredibly special to see. And as he continues to figure out all the things that he can do on the court, his scoring averages are going to go up. His assist averages are going to go up. As the team around him gets better, are going to go way up. There is an opportunity for SGA to be another triple-double threat in the NBA. And I continue to see the improvement that he continues to do. And I cannot be more excited about how he has matured and how he's continued to push the limits of what you can expect from a late lottery pick.
You know, with SGA, I think about this phrase quite often, and so I figured I'd share it with everybody this time, but I think about it all the time, right? Don't mistake kindness for weakness. And SGA, holy shit, he is the nicest person, but do not ever forget that he is one of the elite scorers in the league, or you are fucked.
Yeah, and it brings up a really good point. Like, how do you think you would guard him as a coach? How do you think that you would try to stop him or slow him down? Like, where is the holes in his game that you could sit there and point out and make him do? Now, there's a lot of coaches and there's a lot of other people out there that say, make SGA shoot. But that is one of those things that I don't think is very effective anymore. So, Mark, what would you do if you were a coach looking at SGA saying, how am I going to slow this guy down?
Okay, so when we were playing Miami early in the season, they waited till the end of the game to start sending the double team toward him. And it really made it hard for SGA to adjust. He likes to make the right play. So I think the way that I would handle him is a lot like great NFL defenses try to hide what they're doing until right before the snap, and I would send him a lot of different looks. I'd send him, you know, a player that's coming from a trap from a spot that it wasn't last time. I would come up with different zones and I'd find ways to put the ball in other people's hands and then make it hard for SGA to get the ball back. You got to get him to give it up, but that's not good enough because he's a good cutter. You got to then go full court deny and end up in some sort of a box and one, although you don't need to go straight box and one. You can definitely stick with your man, but you got to recognize at that point that you're going to stick with that. Like most teams play within a shell and they understand the man, a defense with zone principles. That's pretty much universal in the NBA, right? So you have to keep that, but you have to recognize there's no helping off of SGA. So then everybody else has to adjust, and that'll kind of end up looking more like a box. It's not a traditional box in one because the NBA doesn't really do that, but you've got to recognize, like, you can't let him get the ball back in the flow of the offense or you're fucked, because at that point he's one-on-one with somebody on the perimeter and he's throwing jab steps at people. And if he starts going to the hole, he's going to get what he wants. And then, so you better send a double. You better send a double quickly, and you better not let him know where it's coming from, or he's just going to tear you apart.
You know, I've been meaning to bring this up a lot, and I feel like this is a good time to do that. And it's kind of like something for me looking at the different defenders in the league, the different guys that would be matched up with SGA. And there's obvious guys like LeBron James and guys like that that play an amazing defense, especially closing out games. But with SGA, I feel like there's one defender in the entire league that could really make things difficult for him, that could really make things incredibly hard for him, and that is Lu Dort. And I feel like if you look at the way that coach probably plays him in practice, I guarantee you Lu Dort plays SGA a lot. It's good for both of them. It's good to push both of them. And I feel like one of those things is I would always match those guys up against each other at least for a quarter of the practice, because it teaches both of them how to do a better job at playing, another elite player in the league. And again, having that we have Lu Dort on our team is something that's such an amazing thing to be able to think about. It allows SGA to get the second or even third best player on the court. And to me, that's exactly what we need to be able to have so that SGA can focus on his offensive game. His defensive game is amazing, but having somebody like Dort that pushes the ball and allows SGA to do what he does without expecting a lot in return is big. And he's the only type of person in the NBA that I feel like would do a consistent job of locking down SGA. And that's exactly what's so awesome about the way that Sam built this team.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and talk a little bit about some of the players. Yesterday we talked a lot about the new players. Kenny, Roby, Teo, Ty, JJ, Justin Jackson anyway. So check this out now. We're going to talk about the vets, the returning players. And then tomorrow we're going to talk about the G League players. So let's get started out with the Moose, man. Moose is awesome, dude. He struck me first thing in the season that I really appreciated about Moose was the way that he always brought up the younger players, the Kenny Hustle, Isaiah Roby. He was always talking about those guys in the press conference, giving them a lot of credit and really highlighting them. And that just showed me that he's not all about looking for attention from himself. He was definitely taking the time to give a lot of credit to where credit was due, and that's the young players who are just hustling right now and playing the game the right way.
Yeah, again, this shows you a lot of the reason that Sam Presti went out to Los Angeles and met with Mike when he was a free agent. It's a lot of the reason why that Mike decided to stay in Oklahoma City and show loyalty in his veins. And it's one of those things for me that I believe, looking at this team and recognizing that Sam Presti needed Mike to be able to help these guys mature, needed Mike to be able to help these guys learn how to do interviews properly and really reflect all the really positivity on the younger guys. This was a big thing. And to me, I'm looking at it and I'm starting to recognize why Sam wanted Mike Muscala on this team. And again, it's just another amazing way of coach being able, or Sam being able to pick somebody and coach being able to utilize somebody that Sam wants to be able to play. And I feel like this GM and coach combination is definitely better than we had last year. I feel like the way that Coach D is consistently able to use the players that are on his bench and that are, you know, given to him. It shows you that Coach D understands how to put these guys in the proper situations at the proper times in a game, and it's exciting to be able to see.
Yeah, and we say it a lot, but Moose is not just a shooter, but he is a very good shooter. At this point, if the quarter or the game is winding down, I kind of want Moose shooting the shot because he's been hitting them at the buzzer. You know, he gets locked in, and man, he really likes to be able to shoot that shot. A lot of people, you know, you can tell that they're not in love with having to shoot one at the buzzer. Moose wants that shot, and he's playing great defense. He's rebounding the ball well. He really is the leader on that second unit. He's been incredibly consistent, and after last year, he was really ignored. It's been pretty incredible to watch.
Yeah, he deserves to be able to get this playing time. He deserves to be able to show that he deserves to be able to be in the NBA. And that's what he's doing right now. And I love the fact that we're very focused on making sure he stays healthy and keeping his minutes under 25 minutes a game. I feel like is a really big thing, especially with the fact that he is a big body. He is somebody that's going to be bumping in the big bodies in the lane. He needs to be able to have an opportunity to not have to be expected 30 minutes a game from him. That means it's going to mess up his shot. So like Mark said, he's the type of guy we want taking the last shot of a quarter of the game. Or Lu Dort. I mean, it don't matter. Those both guys are incredibly deadly when the game's on the line, and I'm incredibly excited to see how these guys, and especially with Mike, continues to be able to play the way he's playing. And he's averaging 18.6 minutes a game right now, and this is big for him because for him to be able to do this after last year and probably a massive disappointment for him last year, this is big.
Yeah, man, and you mentioned Dort. Let's talk about him. You know, like you said, his shot has come along. We can trust him, you know, with the game on the line. He's proven that, and his hard work is paying off. He came into the league known as a defender who couldn't shoot. Yes, last year, he proved that he could shoot if they left him open. And this year, he's proven that he can shoot when he's being guarded, too. His improvement is unbelievable. Yesterday, I saw somebody post on Twitter that they would pick him fourth in his draft class, considering he went undrafted. That's the fastest I've ever seen somebody climb up a draft board.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just get incredibly excited. I feel like the way that he plays and the way that he sees the court and the way that he continuously adds things to his game, it reminds me a lot of Van Fleet. And I feel like as he continues to add things, I wouldn't be too surprised if Dort has a 50-point game. He has the ability to do some amazing things. He keeps adding to what he can do, and his defense is just out of this world. He consistently stays healthy, and that's something that's big because he is constantly having to guard bigger guys than him, bigger bodies, bigger, taller, and he does a really incredible job at being able to man them up. We saw it on full throttle when he was playing against LeBron. I mean, the whole NBA saw it. I mean, if you didn't see it, then I felt like you need to go back and watch some of the LA games. You would see some amazing defense by him. I really felt like he learned how to take it to the next step there. He played really great defense on Middleton, made things really difficult in the second half when we were able to beat them. So there's so many things that you can look at Dort and circle that he has done amazing. But the reality is that Coach and Sam Presti put him in this position on purpose because they recognize his ability. There's a lot of teams out there that would be like, okay, Dort, don't shoot. Just don't shoot. Just play defense, right? Do the whole, you know, Rajon Rondo. Don't shoot. Just pass the ball, right? Those are the type of specialty offensive players that can play 12 years in the league. But the fact is that Sam and Coach D recognize that not only could he play defense, but he could hit a shot consistently. He could drive to the hole strong and score against big bodies. They're starting to recognize that he could be one of those guys that is an elite defender. He already is an elite defender, but an elite offensive player, and he could be somebody that can make 5 or 6, even 8 all-stars later in his career if he continues to get better.
Yeah, man. He also leads the league in charges, and that's something that can't be taken lightly. Darius Bazley, he has had an up-and-down season, but even when, you know, a bad game happens, like the other day where he didn't score any points, if you look at it, he's playing so much better than he did last year. So while Sam Presti and Coach Daigneault all the time, they say improvement isn't linear. With Bazley, even his bad games are better than his best games last year. Like, I understand that he had games where he scored points, but Like, there were games where he scored points and he didn't do anything else. This year, even when he's not scoring points, he's contributing. His improvement has been incredible. His ability to finish at the rim has me freaking out. That guy belongs in the dunk contest, but in the end, I don't think he gives a damn about that because all he wants to do is win.
Yeah, let's just focus on everything but rebounds. I mean, obviously, it's something that we've all talked about a lot. But with Bazley's minutes, he leads the team's team in minutes. He's averaging 30.8, playing 34 games. There is nobody else on the team that has played 34 games except for Kenny Hustle, and Kenny's averaging 18.6. But back to Bazley. The way that he continuously adding things to his game, like being able to pass the ball, being able to steal. He's only averaging half a steal, but his defense is pretty outstanding with the fact that he's only averaging, let's just say one foul a game, but he's averaging 0.9 fouls a game. If you look at who he's had to play throughout the season, I think it's just something that he should be able to hang his head on, knowing that he continues to get better on defense. It's not something you hear a lot of people talk about is Bazley's defense, but it's something that I get really incredibly excited and encouraged, knowing that he's only 18 years old playing against some of the world's elite power forwards in the league. And this is exactly what he needs to recognize, where he needs to be and how much better he needs to get in order to be elite power forward in the league. And I do think that Bazley, being only 20 years old, has that ability to be able to be an elite power forward in the league. As he gains muscle, as he gets back to the weight room, I think you're going to see him put on 20, 25 pounds of pure muscle. He is going to start looking really fit and really, really big. I think that he's one of those guys that you could look at Montel Harris or somebody like that, and you could say, okay, that is the type of body that he could have if he gets to the weight room and continues to push things hard.
Yeah, man. And I mentioned, Bazley being in the dunk contest. Let's talk about the guy that did win the dunk contest, Hamidou Diallo. You know, I re-listened to Sam Presti's intro to the season, his press conference, which is just a masterpiece. And anybody who has the time should take, a little bit of time and listen to it. But he kind of he talked about Hamidou Diallo's progression and how each year he had earned his way into the rotation and how he had gone into the bubble after being hurt. And he earned his way into that rotation again. And this year, he expected great things from Hami. And we've seen it. His consistency has improved. His ability to finish has improved. His decision-making has steadily improved. A lot of people want to focus on the bad decisions. But in the end, when you have a player like Hami who plays with pure energy and pure hustle, mistakes are a part of the game. The question is, how does a coach handle it? And I've noticed Coach Daigneault give him the space to make mistakes. Give him the ability to improve. Like Sam Presti says, failure is literally the engine to improvement. And if every single time Hami made a mistake, coach sent somebody in and subbed him out, it would be very hard for Hami to improve. But that hasn't happened. There's been a number of times where I've noticed Hami make a mistake and I just instinctively look to the bench thinking Coach Donovan was going to send in a sub. And I'm like, this isn't Coach Donovan's team. Coach Daigneault is going to give Hami the space. And more often than not, giving him the space to work through his mistakes is the right thing.
Yeah, he's another guy that's just growing. He is only 23 years old. He's just one of those young men and young guys that I get excited about because just like with a lot of our guys on this team, is they needed a little bit of extra time to mature. They needed a little bit of extra time to be able to understand what is expected out of them in the NBA. I love what one of our buddies, Krejci, says. He says there's the G League should be used to help develop specialty players for specialty assignments or good role players, essentially, is what he's saying. And I agree. You're absolutely right. That should be able to do that. But the G League should also be able to help the players become better. And watching how Hami has been continuously being able to play, I feel like he's one of those guys that if Sam had been doing things differently, he would have put him in the G League earlier in his career to allow him to get more time to be able to do what he's doing. Because what he is doing right now in this season, I feel like is unbelievable. I feel like he can continue to get his numbers up. Do I think that he could turn into an 18-point player a night? Yes, I do. I think he can continue to be amazing. He's averaging, 11.8 points a game right now. So he's getting really close to that 18 mark. I think that he could definitely be one of those guys that really does a lot of damage in the second half of the season And I love the fact that Coach and Sam Presti and the health department decided to hold Hami back in the last couple of games, allowing him to rest. A groin injury is not something to mess around with. So this is really good that he'll have a little bit of extra time to get back to normal.
Yeah, when I see Hami, I see a future sixth man of the year. And just remember, you heard it here first, all right? Now, let's talk about some of those veterans that didn't necessarily return to the team, but they've been in the league so long that they almost feel like we know them and we know what to expect from them. All right, we got Al Horford and George Hill. Now, they've been the product of a lot of discussion, or the subject of a lot of discussion. People feel like we should trade them away so we can, you know, I don't want to say it, but you know what I mean, right? So they feel like we should trade those guys away, and that's the whole purpose, would make us be worse. And I feel like when you look at it and you're talking about those two guys, there's not many contenders out there that wouldn't benefit from having Al or George on their team. And when Al is playing, our team is better. I love the lineup whenever Coach puts Roby and Al together, because I think that creates all sorts of, you know, mismatches. And I expect to see a lot of that in the second half of the season. And when George Hill is back, I have no doubt that he's going to make us better. And that's what people are afraid of. And if a contender would benefit from having him on their team, how much more would a team like ours benefit? You know, where we need, you know, more scoring, we need more leadership, you know, we need more experience. So I don't see Sam Presti just giving these players away. I see them being a big part of the organization. And if there is a trade that includes these players, it's going to be because the offer was unbelievable.
You're absolutely right. And I'm really appreciative that you took over those two guys as our vets coming on this team. But I'd like to focus on somebody that we haven't really focused a lot on throughout the season that is a vet. That's Darius Miller. I feel like he is one of those guys coming and playing with the guys every single day in practice and helping them in games is something that's huge. He has not got a lot of playing time this year as of yet. But I do think as the season gets on and keeps on going, that he's going to continue to get healthy and get better. I do think that he's somebody that can average 15 minutes a game and put some huge minutes in there for us, especially with the fact is that he's one of the few 30-plus year olds that we have on this team. He does a really great job. We saw him earlier this year hit, 12 points in a game. He just does some really great things. And to me, I feel like he's one of those guys that hustles every single day in practice. And that's why we have the hustle mentality on this team is I think a lot has to do with the fact that Darius Miller is one of those big time leaders on the bench and in the locker room and on the practice court.
Absolutely, man. I'm so glad that you brought him up because, you know, he's been able to knock down some shots and get some playing time. But I think that there's going to be a big part of the year where we're glad we have him on the team. You know, his leadership and his ability to play is obvious. He's definitely coming back from that Achilles tear. So, you know, getting those minutes and being that leader, that's what's all important. Let's talk a little bit about our fan of the game. You know, yesterday I read off 27 countries outside of the United States that has listened to our podcast. But today we got a new listener. This one is from Mexico. We have not had a listener from Mexico. So thank you to our neighbor south of the border. We appreciate you for listening. Please tell other people that love the Thunder about us. We are growing. We are so excited about this. Just today, we passed the 5,000 download spot. 5,000 downloads. Think about that. We did that today. We are so grateful to everybody who is listening, who downloads us, who tells their friends. It's incredible. It's incredible. One of our reviewers today, or yesterday, they dropped in and they gave us a review, a 5-star review, and so we're really appreciative of it. But what they said was even nicer than the 5 stars. And it got me thinking, and I don't want to get carried away with it, but this is what it says. Good stuff. Just like every great team, you guys keep getting better every time. And that's signed, that time of year. Man, I'm telling you right now, that gave me chills because I gotta guess who I think it's from, but I'm not saying because guessing is no fun, right? I'll say this though. You know, I feel like I'm John Stockton and you're Karl Malone.
Yeah, this is just a huge thing. We got destroyed with one-star reviews on Apple due to some arguments that we got into with the tankers on Twitter. I totally get it. You know, and they did have some very good points that we sound like shit. And there's, you know, better podcasts out there in the Oklahoma City Thunder community. Like, there's things that they have, like, legitimately, you know, reason to say yes, because at that time we were not even ranked in the 250. And that's cool, because guess what happened? We started recognizing exactly where we needed to be. We started recognizing what exactly needed to change. And we started hitting those points. We started getting better. Like the review said, we started getting better with this team. And it is playoff fucking time. And we are stoked, because we are the only podcast in Oklahoma City that said that we'd be close to 500 at the break, and we would be close to being able to be in a position to make a run for the playoffs. We're the only Oklahoma City Thunder podcast that was able to do that, because we recognized one thing: in Sam we trust.
And we base our entire podcast on one thing: that podcasts are based around ideas. That just because you have the best microphone does not mean you have the best podcast. If you have shitty ideas and the best microphone, then you have a shitty podcast. And we had an idea, and we believed in that idea, and we were willing to take chances. And that idea was that this team was exactly what Sam Presti said they were, and we believed in his word. So thank you so much for going on this ride. Thank you so much to Thunder Mexico for listening. You are a fan of the game, because we love our international fans. We're so happy that we're ranked number 93 in the United States. But in the end, when our friend from South Korea, our friend from Mexico have been hitting us up, like, this means something to us, because in a lot of the ways, Dave lives in Hawaii, I live in New Hampshire. So in a lot of ways, we feel alone. We're not surrounded by other people who like the Thunder. And so that's what we're reaching for. We want to share it with people who are in Oklahoma too, because we're from Oklahoma, you know? But in the end, the people who are lonely but love the Thunder, who live other places in the world, and not lonely, but lonely when they want to talk about the Thunder, we hope that they'll come along for this ride. Because when I lived in Oklahoma, I could talk about Thunder to all of my friends. But now, I have to call somebody or get on this podcast. And I also have a chance now through Twitter, which I wasn't on before, Reddit, all of these places, Facebook, they've given me an opportunity to engage people. So please come find us. Come tell us what you think. Anything that you want us to share, you know, we'll share it, you know, if it's relevant. And if you have anything that you need to tell us about what's going on in your lives, man, we're here to listen. Thank you to our listeners in Hong Kong and Taiwan. I forgot to say it last episode, but I mean it. You know, we support you. We want to stand together against the bastards. If there's anything we can do, reach out to us and let us know. And also, you know, like we said last episode, you know, we stand for equality, we stand for justice, and we believe Black Lives Matters, and we will say that every single episode that we remember, because honestly, that's what it's all about. We said it last episode, and we believe this so, you know, it's so important here that, like, this platform we have is not simply made to promote our own ideas. Yes, we want to talk about the Thunder, but we also want to use this platform as an agent for change. And over this summer, you know, everything that was going on with the Black Lives Matters protest and all of the issues that were going on in this country, the civil unrest based on, you know, police brutality and violence and racially based violence, you know, I spent a lot of time, you know, talking with my parents and talking with different people, anybody that would listen. And I wasn't on any social media. And I really wanted to be able to share and talk and to be a part of the conversation, but I had no format. And I know that we're a little bit late to be in vogue, but the fact is, now that we have a platform, we're not gonna shut up about it. Because to us, equality and justice for all is worth fighting for.
100%. That's why we're using this platform to speak out on it, because we believe in it. And I just get excited that we have an opportunity to even be on a podcast. Like I've said before, I do not like listening to myself talk. It is something that I despise. I always am very critical on myself about doing it. And I really appreciate all those people that have reached out to us, letting us know that we're doing a good job. I really appreciate it because we are Oklahoma City Thunder family. We are all a family. We are here for you guys, just like you are here for the other people in the Oklahoma City Thunder family. We will continue to be here for you guys. Thank you so much for listening to The Last Storm. I am Dave.
And I'm Mark, and we're going to be back tomorrow to talk about the Thunder. Thunder up, baby.